Rosy sounds of brown. Just
listening to UFO Undercover with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network. If you are listening to the show and wish to join us in the chat room, visit paltalk.com. Go to the social issues, select other, and enter the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Hello, this is Angela Thomas with a message about living life to the fullest. As a psychic clairvoyant, I often give insights to one's career path, financial situation, or relationship. Whether one is happy or not in their current situation, where he or she is right now is an important part of learning valuable lessons that can lead to fulfilling one's life purpose. If I can offer you insights, feel free to contact me at 636-278-2272, again 636-278-2272, or visit my website, angelathomas.org. I'm considered a psychic, so I provide accurate and detailed psychic readings for individuals as well as groups. Remember, no matter what influences your life at the moment, live life to the fullest. Stay in gratitude, count your blessings, and prepare yourself for more opportunities around the corner. I'm Psychic Angela Thomas, and my website is angelathomas.org.
Whoa! Did you hear?
Listen to the Church of Mavis radio show, hosted by Jeffrey Pritt.
7
p.m. Eastern,
Friday
night. Follow your weird and journey into the high strange. Be sure to stop by
www.churchofmavisradio.com
for upcoming shows, paranormal news, and show archives. That's
www.churchofmavisradio.com.
The paranormal,
ghosts,
spirits,
demons,
reincarnation,
past lives,
the afterlife,
divination,
exorcisms,
witchcraft,
the unseen.
He's psychic medium Chris George.
And he's Victor the Voice Fireman.
We are Second Sight Radio. Join us live
every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time
on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Tune in to the Mind Cemetery with your hosts Chip and Nicole every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We delve into UFOs, abductions, ghosts, aliens, conspiracies, and cryptozoology.
And how could you ever forget about those creepy topics you won't hear on your local news?
This is where I would insert my obligatory skeptical statement. The Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest.
Follow us on Twitter and subscribe to us on Facebook. Also, check us out on our website, mindcemetery.com, for show updates and the critically acclaimed Mind Cemetery blog.
It's not critically acclaimed, but you should check it out anyway, mindcemetery.com.
Truth is reality. The connection is you. Check out Catherine Buckley on Truth Connections Radio, Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 107.7 FM, the Paranormal Radio Network.
Back on Tokyo!
Hi, I'm psychic medium Chris George, and along with my co-host, Victor the Voice Furman, with Second Sight Radio. Victor, who do we have as a guest this week?
Chris, our friend Nick Redfern returns to talk monsters. Nick is an author, lecturer, and journalist who writes on a wide range of unsolved mysteries. He's appeared on Ancient Aliens, Monster Quest, UFO Hunters, and many more. And he's back to talk about his book on all things monstrous, The Monster Files.
Victor, Nick may be an expert on the Loch Ness Monster, but I'm an expert on the Chris Tansy Monster.
Whoa! Did you hear?
Listen to the Church of Mavis radio show, hosted by Jeffrey Pritchett.
7
p.m. Eastern.
Friday
night. Follow your weird and journey into the high strange. Be sure to stop by
www.churchofmavisradio.com
for upcoming shows, paranormal news, and show archives. That's
www.churchofmavisradio.com.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we host News on the Flip Side. Come join us every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Central for our three-hour program. We have opinions on everything, and we're not afraid to share them. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news. But you can find it here with News on the Flip Side. Remember, don't be politically correct. Just be correct. Join us.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
I had had enough.
Well, you drove out there into the middle of nowhere and had some sort of loud verbal display challenging E.T. in general out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was doing. I actually had a pistol in my hand at the time. I was really ticked off. When I was having this fit, I was waving the gun in the air, okay, and I had this fit. And at this moment, I said, okay.
Was a Louisiana man named Montaldo. The folks around called him Six Gun Joe. Worked with ICAR, don't you know? Investigating UFOs. Out for a drive with a gal one night, they stopped to check out a reporting site. When an alien lit right there on the ground, commenced to throw in his weight around. Now, old Six Gun didn't take too kindly to that kind of thing. Especially without Vaseline or anything like that, you know. Seriously. Well, Six Gun looked that critter right in the eye and said, any last wish before you die, y'all? Reach for his gun, quick as a twitch, and said, fill your claw, you son of a bitch. Now, a legend spread across the land about this pistol-waving man. But if you're from space or from Earth below, you don't give no lip to Six Gun Joe.
Welcome to UFO Undercover with your host, Joe Montaldo.
Why, thank you, Natasha. It's always wonderful to be back on the show every week. I love the new Joe Montaldo show with the new format. I have so much more fun this way because it really does allow me to talk about stuff that I normally would not get to talk about because of the ufology world. But anyway, great to see the rooms filling up early tonight. Y'all, ladies and gentlemen, remember, www.paltalk.com. You can come over and join us in the virtual audiences. 25, 30 people in there right now. Just come on, hang out. I know a lot of people, you don't have to download the messenger. One of the biggest complaints is people tell me, I don't want to get on PalTalk because you got to download. You don't have to. You can go use their web browser. They have PalTalk Express. It's linkable off of any of the many sites that we have. From UFO Undercover to News on the Flipside to the Paranormal Radio Network to United Public, and most of the hosts on their station, on their fan pages have it as well. So you can get us that. Well, oh, and to answer Ginger's question from earlier before we even got on air, the app is available. You can find it on Facebook right now. I published it to iTunes, Amazon, and Google today. It'll probably take a couple of days to clear, and then it'll be available on all three of those venues. It is free right now, even though I get paying a monthly fee for this, but it's going to be free for y'all for at least a while anyway. Right now you can get to the archive sites on it and the Facebook pages on it. We're going to add the rest of the host Facebook pages probably this weekend, and we will probably add two more archive lists to it so that you'll be able to access any of the three main archive pages. So you'll always have access to all of our material, the more than, well, if you count GoDaddy, we have more than 4,000 available archives at any one given time. That's 8,000 hours. People, you can listen till you drop. We have shows now that have been on network for years. I mean, literally, you know, there's 100 hours a year from them, each show. So you can check them out and enjoy them. And it's really what it's there for. The Facebook pages we're just putting in so that they can get there. Also, there's a couple of pages that link to other stuff that we deal with. So it's a growing app, and it's going to grow and expand. We just wanted to see how it works, and it looks like it's going to be okay. So y'all go download it. Let me know what you think about it, if you got any suggestions or things we should add. As far as the live player, so far it doesn't look like we can put it on there. We're waiting to see. We contacted the company, and maybe they can be able to do it. And if they do it, then y'all have a live play button. We'll feed it off of Shoutcast or Livestream or somebody like that, and y'all will be able to listen to it that way. And for the people who listen to us on Shoutcast, it's not UFO Paranormal Radio anymore. I got a lot of people asking what happened to the station. It's United Public Radio now. So when you're searching for it, don't type in UFO Paranormal, type in United Public. And I'll take you right to it. Yeah, I moved it out of the others into the news category. So check it out. Enjoy it. That's what it's there for. Everything is free right now. It does help when you make a donation. Just the other day, I had to go buy two hard drives and a stick of RAM for a computer to rebuild it. And tell you what kind of luck I got, right? Rebuild it. It's one of the main live broadcast servers we use. It's the second newest computer we have other than the one I'm on right now. And put it all back together. It's working perfect. So I had to put XP on it because I got to upgrade it to Vista to upgrade it to 7 to upgrade it to 8. Yeah, I'm a big pain in the ass. Turned it off. Turned it on. Everything's working great. I stopped. Had to turn it off to go see what was. I had to go see what kind of Ethernet card I had in it so I could get the drivers for it. And turned it back on. Bitch won't stay on there. It goes on and off, on and off, on and off. I think damn motherboard fried out. But anyway, not y'all's concern at the moment. Just wanted to vent. Electronics can be a real pain in the ass from time to time. No, it really can be. Yeah, they will be stopping updates on the 8th. That's why I was trying to get these done, because I want to get Service Pack 3 on them ahead of time. I guess I'm going to have to go download Service Pack 3 and just keep it on a computer somewhere. You know, I understand Microsoft needing to change people off of XP. I mean, still 20% of the people in the world still use XP because it's stable. It runs great. XP 64-bit, just you can't kill it. I have killed Vista more times than I could think of, so I was so happy when 7 came out. 7 has the worst audio I've ever seen on any system anywhere. I mean, it's garbage. 8, I haven't even tried the audio on 8. I just bypassed it and put in an audio card and said, screw it. But 7 just didn't work with anything. It was just garbage. And Vista was – well, actually, Vista was worse. I mean, 7 is better than Vista. But that's why everybody wants to stay on XP, because it works. And it works. It's easy. And I don't know what Microsoft thinks it's doing. I tried to explain this to people years ago. We used to talk about the eventual, if your phone becoming your computer and taking over your life. You know, we used to have arguments about this 25 years ago, and as you can see, it's done it. So it was not that hard of a prediction to figure out. For some reason, Microsoft can't grasp that the desktop is not going to go away. Yeah, you know, they've been saying the death of the desktop, death of the last year, 70% of all the sales in the world were desktops. One, because you get way more bang for the buck. And you can hook up a big-ass whopping monitor and use it for your TV and all kind of other stuff that you just can't do with a pad. You can plug your pad into your big screen if you got one. If you got a decent pad, you can plug it into your big screen. Or if you go wireless, if you got a good TV, you can go with a wireless connection. But still, it's not the same thing. The desktop I'm on right now, okay, this is a Phantom 8-core chip running 4.1 on 16 gigs of RAM with 2 terabyte memory, 1.5 gigabyte video card, and an outstanding audio card. Okay, you go try to buy that in a laptop. So you can't even get it in a pad. Yeah, they look at you like, oh, what? Oh, you want what? No. I got 2 Xeon chips came in too today. And the thing about it is you're not going to be able to replace that with, even laptops really can't replace it, because when you start adding that much power into laptops, they tend to get a little unstable and get a little hot. You need more ventilation than most laptops can provide. So you need the desktops. You need these nice slick blades. You need a lot of stuff, but still, you know, your laptop is great. The pad is a great thing for anybody on the go who wants to watch TV on a 9 or 10 inch screen. Okay. Y'all don't take this the wrong way, okay? I'm sitting in front of my computer right now. I got a 27-inch monitor with 2 23s and a 24 and a 21 surrounding me, plus the 17 on my laptop. So these are just my monitors. So you can imagine what I have for TV sets, okay? 5 TVs, which 2 of them are in here and 3 of them are in Mississippi, a 60, a 55, a 40, a 42, and a 32. So why would I want to watch TV on a 6-inch or a 9-inch pad with the crappiest audio you could probably, by the way, the video on these things are fantastic, but the crappiest audio you can even manage, when I can go home, get in front of my 60-inch, turn on my surround sound, and really experience watching a movie? Yeah. I mean, I know people get bored, so you're going to watch a movie. Well, you know, people, surf the net, do something else. Why don't you try talking to the person next to you? That might be a novel damn idea. Whoa, yeah, I know, huh? Even as geekified as I am, I still like to talk to humans from time to time. Lordy, lordy, lordy. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. I'll save that for ranting with Stephanie Benetti on this Saturday night's version of News on the Flip Side. Can't wait to talk about the Abominator 7 million. I just can't even wait. This is going to be a fun, fun show this weekend. It's you know, a blast. But politics itself really doesn't have any business in the ufology field. Because politicians are greedy, egotistical. Oh, wait, that sounds like ufology. Shit, sorry. Oh, wait. it's really not a good mix. It's like religion. I mean, you have to have the two, because there are religious implications and religious ties throughout the ufology world. And in the ancient world, a lot of the texts and materials we get about UFOs come from different religions. So it's an invaluable source of information as well. So it is needed, but it just doesn't fit well in the field itself. And then, of course, politics, you know, most politicians don't even want to talk about this subject. For whatever reason, they just don't want to talk about it. Very few politicians have been able to run and win a seat with this in their background. I think only 2 sitting senators or congressmen have ever had UFO stuff in their background, and you know, they managed to get in. But then, you know, what's it, didn't Shirley McCain, she screwed what's his name when she mentioned his UFO stuff, and he pretty much was out of the hunt for being president. Damn, we might have finally had a president that believed in UFOs. It would have been so nice. He would have never told us anything, but still. Yeah, he had got in, and he just said, okay, I'm president now. I want to know about E.T., and he's and the guy would have looked up from the Pentagon and said, you don't need to know, my friend, sorry. That would have been the end of that conversation. And he would have said, but I'm president. And he would say it again, you don't have a need to know. president don't need to know. Yeah, you think president needs to know everything, but apparently not. It just cracks me up. Or Cheney's answer. Well, if I told you that, I'd have to have you killed, wouldn't I? Well, and you know what? If Cheney tells you that, I would believe that shit, too. If he said he's going to have you killed, I'd start making plans. Checking everything off, getting your inheritances together for your children. It would be a nightmare disaster. Okay. Now, getting back to the real topic at hand, I really wanted to kind of get into the alien agenda a little bit tonight. And I think we're going to try to stay there for a change instead of wandering all over. You know, we had to get a couple of little things out of the way early on. Also, too, don't forget Saturday night. Hold on a second here. Y'all got some on the air here. Okay, it's going to be one of these kind of things, huh? All right. I know, life gets so weird sometimes. Really, really does. But I've been wanting to talk about this for a while on the alien agenda, and it's not something we get to talk about a lot. We do a lot of research at ICAR. I've personally put a lot of time in on different agendas and what may or may not be going on. The reason I decided to talk tonight, I was listening to a friend of mine who did a lecture and Arizona, was it last year or the year after? I've actually listened to a couple lectures from out there recently. Matter of fact, I just listened to Mike Cleveland's the other day on it was Owls and Synchronicity and Experiences. It was actually pretty good. You'd have to go to the ISC to get it, I imagine, but still. Well, write to Mike. He might hook you up and you can take a listen to it. I'll bring him on sometime in the near future and talk with him about it. Next week we've got a contactee coming on. They were going to come on with us today, but I really just didn't get the time to sit in and talk to him during the week about where the show is going to go tonight. So we're going to move on. But getting back to why I decided to talk about this tonight, I get this letter talking about all the aliens want to do is enlighten us and help us and love us and just do good things for us. Well, you know, I'm all for that. I mean, come on, I'm a human. I'd like to see somebody do something good for us other than trying to force something down our throat or something. So I really would like to see something along these lines. So, you know, and I always reply back, well, why aren't they doing it? You know, peace, love, and light, why aren't they doing it? And, of course, I get the thing back, but they are. But show me where they're doing it. Is Putin like peace, love, and light guy? How about Xing from China? How about Akhtinamai? Is he like peace, love, and light? Hell, for that matter, look at Obama. Well, how many people's killed with drones? Is he peace, love, and light? My point is they're doing a piss-poor job if they're here to help us. How's that? Anybody who believes aliens are here to help us needs to take a good look around at the planet and realize that's a load of crap. No. Aliens have been here for a long time, long time. All the evidence suggests at least as long as we've been here. So you're not going to buy that these agendas just started and these agendas are just about us, because that's a load of crap. These agendas are about the extraterrestrials. We are part of the agenda. We are not the agenda. Unfortunately, humans have this need to make themselves self-important in everything that happens to them. Yes, all contactees are special, but that doesn't mean you're like Queen Elizabeth or your blood's the only one or whatever. That's not what it means. It's that your family line is being abducted because they're trying to move it forward. They're trying to help us enhance our mental abilities, our empathic, telepathic abilities, things along those lines. They would like to see us, you know, develop telekinesis and things along those lines, but that's all still quite a good ways in the future. And I'm sure there's exception to the rules. I have seen three people move something with their mind, nothing major. One guy made a quarter slide, and everybody's like, oh, no. So as the quarter was sliding across the table, he just made it stand up on its side, spin around, and then roll back to him. That's a pretty cool trick, I got to say. If it's a trick, it's a damn cool one. He did it many times on many different tabletops. He's even done it in a couple of bars. So I'm thinking it's a gift that he has. I've seen other people manipulate stuff, but I haven't seen like someone who can control it like when you hear about the super soldiers, okay? if the super soldiers were real, let's say I'm a super soldier, okay? And I don't like somebody. Let's say I'm a Ukrainian super soldier and I don't like Mr. Putin, okay? Then I can think over to Putin and think about one little artery in his head and just slowly but surely squeeze it closed. He strokes, he either dies or he's an invalid, one or the other. No trace, no attack, no evidence left behind, no nothing. Perfect weapon. Well, the fact that Putin's alive and all the rest of these idiots alive suggests we don't have that kind of technology yet. Or we don't have those kind of mental abilities yet because, frankly, they're not dying. So we can kind of write those off as well. You know, I tell people all the time, when you're going to talk about this alien subject, first judge the aliens by their action, but look at things in a little bit more common or a little bit more common sense way. Some things you can rule out. You know, I mean, just like we just ruled that out, there's some things you can just rule out. If you just take your time and walk yourself through it, you can. Somebody asked me, well, why don't the aliens show themselves? Why don't they show themselves? Well, in their agenda, they don't need to show themselves. And frankly, they do show themselves to everyone they contact. They're just not interested in showing the mundane part of the population themselves. They have no need for them. For the aliens that visit this planet that are working with the contactee groups, they have no need for the rest of the people on the planet. So don't ever think they're here to save y'all or enlighten y'all or whatever. They just don't really care. They're here for this group, however big this group actually is an argument amongst people for decades, but it's a big group, and that's what they're here for. They work with these contactees. They work with these families sometimes for life, sometimes not. The only thing that stops an abduction is an alien. You can't stop it, so don't ever believe that crap. And if anybody says, oh, pay me money, I can stop it, you know. One of their favorite tricks is, pay me money and I can stop the aliens. And then they tell you to do this, that, or the other thing, or invoke Jesus. And then they tell you, and then, well, it didn't work. And they're like, oh, because it's not an alien, it's a demon. That's one of my all-time favorites. It always cracks me up. But when it comes right down to it, this agenda is about them. They came here. It's not about breeding. It's not about souls. It's all a bunch of bullshit. Okay? They've been here a long, long time. The greys have souls. The reptilians have souls. The humans have souls. They don't feed it on us psychically. They don't need to do that. None of the races that abduct actually need to do that. They all can breed just fine. They don't need us for DNA or any of that crap. They're actually, see, this is where humans screwed up. They're actually introducing their DNA to us, not our DNA to them. Okay, best I can tell, I don't even know why the greys would want to be like us. They have much more agile bodies than us, much more powerful bodies than us, much lighter weight, much more durable all the way around, and at least 10 times the mental capacity, probably more like 100 times. Yeah, they want to be like humans. See, that's what I was talking about, humans being arrogant. As a species, we're really, really arrogant, and we need to get past that. You can't really get to the truth if you can only see through arrogant eyes. It's not going to help, okay? And the aliens are probably the missing link. Best we can tell, you know, we hear the stories about the reptilians and the humans since the beginning of time, and then we start hearing about the greys later on, after the Dogon era is when you start hearing about the greys. And then all throughout the ancient world, they worshiped reptilians as bringers of life and bearers of gifts. And not until Christianity came around did that turn around and the humans become the good ones and the reptilians become the bad ones. See, most researchers don't even catch that. That's what cracks me up. If you really pay attention, especially to the Mesoamericans, the Native Americans, the Africans, the Middle Easterns, even some of the Europeans, you'll notice that the reptilian was not considered an evil thing to them. It was a bringer of change. Usually it was a bearer of life is what they described it as. And there was lots of evil human-type deities in all of these worlds. The Egyptians themselves, their emperors, you know, according to they had that disease that made their head all elongated, but it's mighty funny that that's how most contactees describe human aliens' heads. Was it a breeding program? Might have just been an alien, just ruling Egypt. He was the pharaoh. Who was going to tell him anything? Nobody's going to tell a pharaoh nothing. Get the hell out of here. He's the pharaoh. Really? Well, Mr. Pharaoh, I think you think I'm a what? A what? Well, come here, boy. I got something for you. Chop. That's a good point too. When Cortez reached Spain, yeah, they thought he was the white god. It's so funny that their writings predicted that event. And even though they tried to appease him, they still destroyed him. It's a strange, strange thing that they knew foresight. They knew what this guy was going to look like and stuff. As far as they knew, they weren't no white people on the planet. They were just brown. All people were brown. They weren't even black in this country. They were just brown. It's just kind of funny to me, actually. Even stranger, 99% of South Americans share the O blood gene. It's the only place on the planet found like that. Everywhere else it's pretty much even, you know, 36, 33, 37, 32, whatever percent. Not in Central and South America, actually. It's almost exclusively O blood. I just find it just fascinating. To me, that would suggest that that's where the blood started from. That's the highest concentration. It started in that part of the world somewhere. Maybe the third incarnation of man or something. You know, I've talked to several people about this over the years, and a lot of stuff on DNA research. And it's always been said that you couldn't start the population with just two. Because what would happen is over time, all the bad and all the good features would get quadrupled into each individual. It's the reason why they don't want you interbreeding with your family, because it can do one of two things. You can have brilliant, outstanding children because it doubles all the good. But just by saying that, it also doubles all the bad. And if you're inbreeding on a regular basis, like anybody who breeds animals knows what I'm talking about. If you start inbreeding backwards like that, you start losing all the good qualities. So it suggests there was something else going on. And I know quite a few DNA people have now said that it took in order to create a population, a healthy population, 7 billion, the bare minimum start, bare base population you can have is 3,600. That's the base. That's because that'll give you enough diversity that you can crisscross back and forth to create a large population. They would rather at least 6,000, but at least 3,600 to get to this population. What most of them are starting to think now is there were springs of humans that popped up around the planet. It wasn't just the two that came out of Africa. They think some may have popped up in South America, some may be in Europe, some over here. I mean, we already know that Cro-Magnon bred out Neanderthal. At least we're pretty sure that's what happened to them. So that was a separate species. They bred together, diversified into DNA. No telling how many other times that happened with slightly different species along the ways. So that would actually make more sense on how we became a healthy population versus, oh, well, we came from two apes on the plains in Africa. What can you say? But who knows? I wasn't there. You know. And one of the things that bugs me about this, we make a lot of assumptions, and that's why evolution is still a theory, but it's a good theory. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to hate on evolution because it's got a good basis for a lot of stuff. Man, for some reason, just doesn't quite get in there, but who knows? 100 years from now, somebody might dig up the perfect skeleton that puts us right where it needs to be, that slight transformation from one side to the other side, that subtlety of intelligent spark. Because I was listening to a very intelligent man speak the other day. His boy has 3 PhDs, he's a Tulane professor, and he was talking about life in the universe and how it may or may not have evolved, and, you know, he has no doubt that there's other intelligent life out there other than us. You know, of course, he's like most scientists, he has no idea how they would be getting here, but he does believe that there's life out there in a more intelligent, more intelligent life out there, I guess is what I'm saying. But he also was stressing the point on how things would change, how differently things are, how simple things, just like first contact, just through a variety of things like exposure to a race's germs. We have no immune system for that. Neither do they, unless they've learned how to take care of that stuff. You know, so imagine they can sample the air and say, okay, we're okay, we don't have to worry about this, but still, there's a lot of things that can go wrong when you have aliens visiting. But as you go back and you look at how it seems like they bred around the world and kind of developed the species today, it would make sense, too, why the hot spots for contactees are in the countries that allowed for the melting pots to develop. The only places that weren't melting, well, even South America was melting pots. They just seemed to have 99% O blood, which is weird. But But these countries are melting pots. There's a diverse population coming in. And it's a population that's pre-exposed to a lot of this stuff. So they understand, like, paranormal and ghosts, ETs and UFOs, things along those lines. They actually kind of understand that. So we're going to jump forward. So we go from the Sumerians to the Dogons. We're moving forward. We're in the Mesoamericans. They're doing their thing. And we all, according to man, came from apes. Well, getting back to his point, he said, I'm really confused about something. He said, we could have came from apes. We do share 97.7% of our DNA with apes. He said, we also share 96.5% of our DNA with dolphins. And he said, let me get this straight. He said, dolphins used to be an upright walking animal on the planet because it's the only other animal on the planet that has a straight spine. It also has where its flippers are on the back, used to be feet. When you look at them on an x-ray, they used to be feet. And you can see the finger bones in the front dorsal fins when you're looking at them. When you look at the skeleton of a dolphin, you don't look at the head, it looks kind of like a human skeleton. It looks a lot like it. Dolphins' brain capacity is at least as great as ours, if not greater. Remember, their brain is larger than ours. And two of them just wrote that comment, elephant's brain's large. No, it's not. An elephant brain is about the size of an orange. It's a big brain for an animal, but it's not a human-sized brain. Just because an animal's huge don't mean it has a big brain. It does with whales, but not with all the rest of the animals. Look how big a lion is. His brain's smaller than my fist. But dolphins' brains are one and one-third or one-and-a-half times the size of humans, and they have two additional senses that we don't have. So whereas we have five, they have seven. He's got a valid point here. Why didn't we evolve from them? They were the more advanced species by far than anything else on the planet. Why do we come from apes? Why is it assumed that we come from – because there's no direct evidence. There's assumptions, and there's other different forms of things that have died out over the years, but none of which they could prove took stock. Every time they find a skeleton, they find one, two, or three skeletons, but they don't actually find anything between them. Just 100,000 years or a million years later, they find another type of skeleton. But there's nothing; they're not really showing any evolution between them. As far as we know, that was just another type of ape that died off. They were talking about this on Science Discovery the other day. On how many of the apes that evolution theorists want us to think are direct links are not actually direct links. Because anything more than 5,000 years between them could be anything. There's no proof of any kind of direct link once you exceed that time frame, because anything can be developing in that time frame. When you start talking about time frames of a million, 2 million, 3 million years, well, that allows for serious change in evolution. I mean, have y'all ever seen the first horse, what it looked like? It don't look like any horse you see today. And that's another point. You know, it doesn't, the actual evolution from where it started to where it's today is quite a bit different. Yeah, it's got four legs. Even its hoof patterns are different. Its nose, its ears, its tails, everything. Its shoulder, back, muscles, it's all different. The only thing that's really the same about it, it's a quadruped. And it's a vegetarian. But other than that, there's not that much left between them. There's quite a bit of difference in evolution there over just, what is that, 40 million, no, 68 million years, 70 million years. It doesn't just happen overnight either. But you can see the progression. But even with them, they can say, well, we think, and I got to be safe about this, because, you know, I said earlier in the show, I do believe that evolutionary theory does work for a lot of stuff. And since everything on the planet is tied together, that kind of bothers me, actually. Because evolutionary theorists, everything on the planet's related, right? Why? Because we came from one single cell 1.6 billion years ago? Is that why we're all related? Is that why we share some kind of common DNA with everything on the planet? I would bet you even money that if there was life on Mars or any life in this solar system, that we would share some DNA with it. I really bet serious money on that. And apparently I'm not the only one, because I've heard many, many, many scientists say the same thing. And, of course, now there's a new theory that life on Earth came from Mars about 1.2 billion years ago during some great firestorm, hailstorm, whatever. It emitted a bunch and broke off and sent a bunch of stuff hurling this way. And then they believe again around 65 million years ago, around the same time Earth went catastrophic, they think Mars went catastrophic as well. And no telling what it sent over here at those time periods. But we do know that DNA and live material from Mars can make it to Earth. It's not that far of a journey, and anything inside of a rock or anything in stasis could make it from there to here. So that single cell may not have actually sparked here. It might have sparked and been dropped off here. It would explain why our biological clock's a little off from our planet, so is our average body temperature. But it would also explain some of the other things, some other weird anomalies with humans on the planet. But then we are all tied to everything on here. And that sounds so much like terraforming, it scares me. You know, let's create a terraform soup and just put it out there and let it go. And just terraform the planet. Because you got to wonder why periodically on this planet, what, there's been five mass extinctions now? Isn't it five? And scientists, is always, I love science, right? Well, no, life only started 400 million years ago. Well, then how do you get five great extinctions, you moron? That's an impossibility. You didn't have five extinctions in 400 million years. Then they go, oh, well, it's about 1.1 billion years, maybe 1.2 billion years for the first amoeba. That's a little better, but that roughly means about every 200 million years there's a mass extinction on the planet. Well, we're 68 million years in from the last one, so I guess we still got about 120 million years ago. We should be all right, at least everybody alive today, if that's how it works. But I have heard scientists argue the fact that some of the extinctions seem to be much further apart, 400,000 to 500,000 years, 400 or 500 million years apart. Their math doesn't add up. You can't have mass extinctions at every 400 million years but only have life on the planet for a billion. It doesn't add up. That's, let's see, if you had five, that would be, what, 20? So you'd have to go back at least 2 billion years to accommodate those numbers. And, of course, there wasn't supposed to be any life here 2 billion years ago. It gets sticky, it gets fun. I just like talking about it. It's theories are theories, and that's why they're calling theories. And, Frank, last I checked, evolution was still a theory. Unless some earth-shattering breakthrough came through overnight, it's still just a theory. It's a damn good one, but still just a theory. Personally, I think for most animals it works quite well. I don't know why it's that big of a deal. I guess because of all the God freaks, but it always cracks me up when I listen to humans. You know, they talk about Gaia and the Earth and all of that stuff, and it always cracks me up because whether you believe in God, whether you believe in panspermia, or you believe in aliens, we're not native to Earth. Regardless how you want to look at it, we're not the building blocks of what created us, the species that inhabit here today. It's not from here. It came from somewhere else. Either God created us, E.T. terraformed us, or in panspermia, the building blocks of life came on a great continent and melted and spread out and turned into life that's here today. Very advanced, very advanced life to go in just that short period of time. But it also tells you, though, that if a comet can hit this planet and in less than a billion years create life like us, what happens on planets where the ice hit 3 billion years ago or 4 billion years ago? How much more advanced are these races than us? I mean, everybody forgets, but in the grand scheme of things, Earth is young. We're 4 billion years old in a 13 billion year old universe. I mean, we're babies. It makes me worried a little bit that some of these races that are visiting us may be much, much, much more advanced than we even want to think about. But it is fun to listen to, and it is fun. I do like to hear these professors debate, you know, coming from apes, coming from dolphins. I like the guy who says, well, we came from bananas because we got 97.3% banana DNA or some shit. It just cracks me up. But his point was to prove that if it's got that much DNA, it doesn't mean it means shit if an ape has 98%, if a banana can have 97%, what the hell? the odds of us coming from an ape drastically decreased. And for me, the argument's always been is we may have came from an ape-like creature, but it wasn't an ape, and it wasn't a gorilla. It was something that started on its own separate evolution away from those. It wasn't one of them turning into us. There's just no proof of that. Because if that was true, why haven't apes evolved? Apes have been on the planet for, 35 million years? Why haven't they evolved? Why hasn't gorillas evolved? Their brains are damn near the size of ours. They're supposed to be as smart as a 4 or 5 year old. So why haven't they evolved? It kind of blows the air out of most of the evolutionary theory when he says we evolved from apes. Because we probably were on a separate offshoot. All the ape families are probably related, but it was probably individual offshoots because gorillas didn't come from chimpanzees. Chimpanzees didn't come from lemurs. They really got to kind of work on that a little bit. Yeah, it's awful diverse, but they really got to kind of work on it. And then, I like the guy, it was Harold Wise, I think is his name. He said, why is the planet so diverse? Why aren't there less life forms? He said, you know, if we just came from one amoeba, why are there so many different life forms on this planet? Look how many have gone extinct. And look how many are here today. I mean, we're talking trillions of life forms. And y'all really don't think there's nothing in space? Get the hell out of here. We're a rock that barely even had time to cool off, and we're covered with crap in life. Everywhere you looked is life on this planet. And I would bet your ass money any amount you wanted to. Anywhere there's heat, water, and light, there's life. It may not be just like us, but I guarantee it's out there. And that's one of the reasons, too, I wonder why science argues this so hard. Because I remember the first time we talked about Mars 30 years ago. Obviously, Mars has water on it. Obviously, Mars has liquid water on it because it has days when it reaches above freezing. And where you have ice and heat, you're going to have water. They had already said they were pretty sure that at least one of the caps were H2O. They weren't methane ice or anything like that. They were water ice. So I never understood why it was such a big deal for them to admit the fact that there's probably water. Now, NASA has not only said that there's probably water, but there's probably flowing water on the surface of Mars. They've now witnessed in two times where it looks like there's flowing water on the surface of the planet. So, I mean, this drastically changes the way Mars as an inhabitable environment for us. I mean, if there's water there, there's water and dirt, okay? I know most people think of dirt as nothing important, but dirt does a lot of things. One, you got all kind of minerals in there that you can use. You can use for fuel. You can use, hell, we don't know. Mars might be full of oil, man. We might get over there and find a new oil supply. They supposedly had life 50 million years ago. No telling what they got hidden on that thing. Think about this. Olympus Mons. Olympus Mons is probably producing diamonds the size of my foot. It is the largest volcano in the known solar system. The amount of pressure it had on the bottom of that was, and being that something looked like it smacked the bottom of the planet and forced Mount Olympus up, you've probably got diamonds. You might have diamonds in there the size of little Volkswagens and stuff, man. But the dirt comes in handy for a lot of things. You can chop it up. You can put it in grinders and chop it up and heat it up and turn it into a misty, foggy stuff that will actually give the planet an environment. You won't be able to breathe it, but you'll be able to you won't have to wear a pressure suit. It'll get the pressure high enough that you won't have the pressure suit. Yeah. No, I imagine that Mars might have it on there. I mean, there was supposed to be oceans and life and vegetation all over Mars at one time. That's what creates oil. Rotten vegetation on the bottom of an ocean somewhere. That's what it creates. As far as volcanoes go, volcanoes create diamonds all the time. That's a big-ass volcano. I bet you it's going to produce some big-ass diamonds. I know the ones they found in Africa were pretty nice size, and they're right. Oh, speaking of that, y'all heard about the new gold rush in California because there's so little water that the gold's uncovering all over the place. Man, y'all live out there. Y'all should be out there getting some gold, man. I was listening to this old man today. He's been pulling 4 ounces a week out. Man, what is gold right now? Like $1,200 an ounce? Sheesh, that man's making some money, man. Like, I want to go digging for gold. This is kind of funny. But getting back to what we were talking about, you have all this stuff on these theories of evolution, how it works, and how we got here. You can't argue it either way. Yes, it could be possible. Yes, it could not be possible. Because really, what happens if we find out that aliens seeded the planet? What does that do for evolution? It doesn't actually necessarily rule it out, does it? I mean, not really. It just suggests that somebody started us and evolution took it from that point forward. I just don't think they quite got evolution down to a science. There seems to be bits and pieces and things that are missing and things that don't always explain things as correctly as they should or as clearly as they should. But it's a good working theory, and it works for most things. Humans just seem to be a little bit complicated. And then, and this is one of the other kickers against the evolutionary theory. 25,000 years ago, Rh negative blood showed up on the scene out of nowhere for no reason, by the way. There was you can ask any doctor, any scientist you want to talk to, he will tell you that 25,000 years ago there was no reason for Rh negative to appear on the planet. There was no need for it. It had been positive blood for 2 million years. Why all of a sudden, 25 to 35,000 years ago, Rh negative popped up? Well, they don't really know. It's somewhere between 25 and 35,000 years. But there was 2 million years of man before that, of evolution of man before that. And then out of the blue, I guess at the start of the Ice Age, Rh negative popped up. Or maybe in the middle of the Ice Age, Rh negative popped up. Why? But it's not natural. It's against the law. It kills babies. Mother Nature don't usually make things that kills babies in another body. See, that everybody forgets. We used to have to get blood type tested because if you were O positive and O negative, you couldn't have children together. You had to go get a shot for that, an antigenogen D gene shot, I think it's what it's called. And you had to go get the shot or you couldn't have babies. Before that, it was the infant mortality rate was much higher because we didn't know that a parent with positive and negative could kill their kid. The kid could die because the body rejected the Rh negative baby. See, everybody forgets about this. This is recent science. I don't even know why people forget about this. This is all stuff just in the last 50 years. All of this you can check for yourselves. None of this is hard to find out. The reason I'm going through all of this so detailed is because, you know, something else went on here. There was like an infusion of DNA into our society 35,000 years ago, or 25,000 years ago. But if you look, if you go back from 25,000 years and come forward, man has achieved more in that 25,000 years than it did in its first 3 million. Just that we've achieved more in the last 100 years than we have in our entire existence on the planet. But when you look at the difference, what Rh negative has done for humans, it's gave us a lot. We've cured all kind of diseases because of Rh negative, especially O negative. It's the purest blood known to man. Without it, there's a lot of stuff we would have never been able to cure. It was what gave us the breakthroughs for hemophiliacs and all kind of stuff. It really helped humans to understand it. And that on top of it, O negative is the only universal donor. Anybody can take it. I mean, what did Mother Nature decide we needed the blood that everybody could take? 35,000 years ago, there sure wasn't no technology around to give it to us. Yeah. But it was a technology that killed people. I mean, not a technology, a mutation that killed people. Mother Nature usually don't do harm. She may breed you out of extinction because you're a crappy society, or a crappy animal. But in most cases, she's out there trying to help you evolve, to make things better, not things worse. And this really made things worse. And it would have stayed worse until such a time that we developed a technology that it was useful. So this looks more like foresight, that someone was thinking ahead. Thinking maybe 25,000 years down the line, this could be useful. Then it wasn't, but then it was. Probably it was some other alien's DNA that entered the scene, probably the Greys. Because everybody says that humans and the reptilians were here before the Greys quite a bit longer, like 5 or 10,000 years before, maybe longer than that. And it looks like it might have been their DNA that was introduced that gave us the Rh negative. But there's no way to prove it. And it does kind of throw a curveball to evolution. Because when you ask a doctor about evolution in O negative, he'll tell you there was no need for an evolutionary, of this step, evolutionary step. And most doctors will tell you it made no sense at all. Until now. And then it makes a lot of sense. But when it happened, it made no sense at all. So, I guess maybe Mother Nature's a time traveler. Notice there is a need, there's a major need for a universal blood type. It's what allows us to save countless lives in wartime. I mean, think about how many lives O negative blood have saved. Because they didn't have to take anybody's blood. They didn't have to carry all those different types of blood. They can carry one type of blood, just stock it up. And the plasma and stuff. Because it's not always blood. A lot of times it's plasma. If you ever get your blood done and they put the blood back in you, it's because they wanted the plasma. Have y'all ever had that done? That's a weird feeling, too. Because the blood's always cold when they put it back in you. You're like, whoa, what the hell? It's a strange thing. But I'm going to take a quick 5-minute break. When we get back, I'm going to talk about the alien agenda and get off these other things. I'll open up the phone lines probably about 15 minutes into the next hour. And I see, goddamn, like 40 people try calling. Oh, it's because I was talking about evolution. I should have been looking at the phone lines. That's probably why I didn't look. Everybody's got their own theories on evolution. But anyway, we'll be back in about 8 minutes, guys. I want you to please stay tuned to the United Public Radio and Joe Mantello and the Joe Mantello Show. Any thoughts, ideas, designs, or anything else that you'd like to hear or see on the show, you can write to me at International Community of Alien Research or ICR at Cox.net. Remember, be sure to tune in to myself and Stephanie Benetti on Saturday nights for News on the Flip Side. 4 hours of current events, usually out of control current events, but damn good ones. The show is very popular. It's got a high rating across the net. It's doing quite well, and it's not really controversial. It's correct. In other words, we don't want to be politically correct. We just want to be correct. We're tired of the politically correctness. It's why this show got developed in the first place, because we're tired of being politically correct. Sometimes you just got to call an eight ball and move on. Anyway, we'll be back in about 8 minutes, so please stay tuned to the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. See you in 8.
Your host, Joe Mantaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
I had had enough.
Well, you drove out there into the middle of nowhere and had some sort of loud verbal display challenging ET in general out in the middle of nowhere.
That's what I was doing. I actually had a pistol in my hand at the time. I was really ticked off. When I was having this fit, I was waving the gun in the air, okay, and I had this fit. And at this moment, I said, okay.
He was a Louisiana man. Name of Montaldo. Folks around called him Six Gun Joe. Works with ICAR, don't you know? Investigating UFOs. Out for a drive with a gal one night, they stopped to check out a reporting site. When an alien lit right there on the ground, commenced to throwing his weight around. Now, old Six Gun didn't take too kindly to that kind of thing. Especially without Vaseline or anything like that, you know. Seriously. Well, Six Gun looked that critter right in the eye and said, any last wish before you die, y'all? Reached for his gun, quick as a twitch, and said, fill your claw, you son of a bitch. Now, a legend spread across the land about this pistol-waving man. But if you're from space or from Earth below, you don't give no lip to Six Gun Joe.
Welcome to UFO Undercover with your host, Joe Montaldo.
Well, thank you there, Miss Tyson. I'm glad to be back on the show right about this time, ma'am. That's a very sweet intro you have going on there. I hope everybody enjoyed the first hour. We're going to get on to the alien agenda now and see which way we're going to be headed with that in a few minutes. Mark, yes, thanks for all the links. I see Mark Hestle, is that right? Sent me all kind of links on the theory of evolution. I do agree that, for the most part, that evolution is a fact and a theory. It's a fact for some animals and a theory for others. But, you know, we're young species yet. Give them time. They'll figure it out. Or they won't. We might be having this discussion in our next reincarnate together in 50,000 years or something. Say, weren't we talking about this 50,000 years ago? What the hell's going on here? We're a little slow. Well, I'm watching one of these futuristic writers the other day. This guy was, there's three of them that I like to follow. One is about 21, the other one's about 40, and the other one's about 60. And I just like to hear them write about where they think the future's going to go. And by the way, all of them have been wrong so far, because they all have got pre-works dating back, you know, five or more years. The 19-year-old's actually got 5 years of work you can review. He's about right every sixth time. The 40-year-old who writes, he's about right 50-50. The other guy, he's about the same, about 50-50. And he was bitching the other day about, where's my flying car, where's my flying car? You know, the flying car part ain't that hard. It's the fuel part that's that hard. We could actually come up with a flying car pretty easy, but we just don't have a power source that's economical enough to make it feasible to build one. Plus, man, most of you people can't drive on the ground. But it does have an advantage. You wouldn't have to drive on wet roads anymore, or on slick, snowy, icy roads. You wouldn't have to do any of that anymore. You could just plow right on through the snow in the air, driving through the air just like any. But you'd have to learn instrumentation stuff. Driving would be a little bit different than it is today. It's quite a bit to learn to be a pilot. You don't have to be a brilliant, but there's some stuff you need to know if you're going to be a pilot. Flying at night, you know, you've got to either fly low enough that you can see where you're flying, or you've got to understand instruments. Yeah. Instrument rating's a little harder to get than your regular pilot's license, but anybody for about $2,000, $3,000 can go get their pilot's license on a Cessna. Or if you don't even want to go through the trouble, you can go to any of those, you can go fly them kite planes around. Yeah, they got a little engine on the back with a kite, and you just probably doing about 8 knots. It vibrates the hell out of you. Looks fun, though. I mean, I've been hang gliding on, skydiving. You know, I was dumb enough to jump out of an airplane for fun, too. Military didn't make me do it. Just tells you how dumb I am. Joined the military, never had to jump out of an airplane because my ratings in the military didn't require it. I learned all kind of stuff. And even in SEALs training, I wasn't required to jump out of an airplane. Not like that. In SEALs training, you don't use a chute. You just drop out of the damn thing. You lay your arms across your heart, your hands flat against your chest, palms down, fingers to the tip of your shoulders. You put your legs as tight together as you can get them, and you point your toes straight down. And you just drop. And you slide under, and then you pop right back up. Yeah, first time they made me do that was from a 60-foot tower into what looked like a 10-foot pool. It was deeper than that, but it looked like a 10-foot pool. I'm like, really? Second time I did it was off the USS Forrestal in the Pacific, because she was in for repairs. And the third time I did it was off the USS Nimitz. The Nimitz is like 10 stories out of the water, in case y'all didn't notice. It's not like a little, you know, drop. You're screaming half the way down. Even the guys who've done it before, they're screaming halfway down. It's crazy, man. It's insane. But it's stuff you got to learn, stuff you got to know, and it will save your life if it comes right down to it. There's quite a few things they teach you that will actually save your life if the end of the world comes. Fun stuff like that. Or if the alien agenda comes and it's not all pleasant and peace, love, and light kind of thing. You know what I mean? But anyway, let's go ahead and talk about it a little bit. Why do you think three races of aliens would want to come visit you? First off, why did the humans come here in the very beginning? Because pretty much all researchers agree they came first. Either them and the reptilians were either here at the same time, or they came right before the reptilians came back, because most people do agree that the reptilians are probably native to Earth. So either the humans here right before they came back around the same time. Why? What is it that the humans, I mean, what is it that they saw? I mean, we know there's minerals and resources and stuff like that. And we know the old Sumerian, you know, legend about they created a slave race. Well, they created a race like themselves that created a slave race that in turn interbred with the reptilians and created the race that's here today that later on interbred with the Greys that created the race that's here today. Shit gets complicated quick. But why? Why didn't the humans, when they were done, the human aliens, I mean, when they were done with their slaves, why didn't they just wipe them out? Or why didn't they just make it the way they couldn't procreate anymore? I mean, they weren't planning on keeping them. And obviously they couldn't keep the planet. You know, from the early Saiyans, it seems like the human race wanted to keep this planet. But then the reptilians showed back up, so I guess the planet became in dispute. Well, the idiots created us, which, of course, we're native to the planet, but by creation. So we get a stake in it, too, now. So not only is it the reptilians' planet, it's our planet as well. Sorry about that, guys. Let's turn that right down. Yeah, that's my phone ringing. Maintenance call. Now, where were we? Oh. So the thing of it is why would they come to Earth? You know, there's arguments about the Sagittarius galaxy thing that may or may not be true. If it is, that's cool. If it's not, it's cool. So the humans come here for minerals. Now, that was 100,000 years ago. They don't need minerals now. What's up? They're not still here for minerals. We know a good chunk of the resources on the planet. We know that they're not going anywhere awry other than what we're using. So here we are 100,000 years later and they're still here. And what started out with one race is now three races. And they seem to just be having a field day, taking humans, doing this, doing that, bringing them aboard ships. But then they let us participate in things. They seem to be letting humans, contactees. Carolyn, I don't use the word experiencer because experiencer to me is someone who has a sighting or sees a ghost. That's an experiencer. There's no real backbone to it. That's what I consider an experiencer. A contactee is someone who's fully functionally aware that what's happening to them and some manner has come to deal. It's not always necessarily a good thing, but it is in the fact that they do realize what's going on and they are participating and aware of what's happening. Abductees just know that something bad's happening to them and they want it to stop. That's really what an abductee is. But experiencers, it's just lighter. It's just a lighter version of everything, you know. Oh, I'm an experiencer. It's like I'm floating on air or floating on clouds or something. So to me, it doesn't hold as much water. It's like a wimpy way for some of the other ufologists to cop out on using words like contactees and abductees. You got to remember, this is still a taboo in the UFO field. They don't like people like me. Anybody who talks about alien abduction is not the most liked people. If you're a woman, it's a little easier on you, but for guys, they just don't even want to hear it. They're like, we don't want to hear about it. That's aliens, man. They're not taking people. They're just flying saucers around our planet for 100,000 years. Really, you freaking moron, how stupid are you? It amazes me. It really does. When you look at ufology today, it amazes me how many dumb people actually speak in ufology because nothing ever changes. Nothing they're doing makes a difference. It doesn't even matter. Chasing lights in the sky is a complete and utter waste of time. It's a lot of fun, but if you're trying to get to answers, it's a waste of time. You will never get answers chasing lights in the sky. We've been doing it for 50 years, and we still ain't got any answers. But yet, chasing contactees on the ground, that's a different story. You get a lot of answers. You learn a lot of knowledge. Yeah, I mean, you got to take everything with a grain of salt, regardless who it is or how well you know them or what may be involved and not involved. You've got to take everything with a grain of salt. But there's a lot of stuff that ties together. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen are exactly the same. When they start talking about these things, these visitations to the ship where they're being allowed to interact and stuff, all of that stuff is almost identical. I mean, from the different types of experiments they do to different types of schooling they're getting, from the different types of things they're learning how to handle and maneuver. It's just a lot of information there. But when you start hearing from multiple contactees at the same time, you know it's just a program running. And that's something that ICAR learned early on. They abduct in groups. They train in groups. So when you get enough contactees in your database, you can figure things like that out. You're like, well, wow, look at this. They're taking like 500 of these people and schooling them to do the same thing. Not something anybody could say before, but it is something we can say. So when we talk about the agenda, we may have a few more pieces of the puzzle than most people do. And there are some serious agendas out there. There's the Holocaust dream, which one-third of contactees have. And what you want to know what's really scary about the Holocaust dream? And this is the really scariest part for me, is even the peace, love, and lighter contactees get the Holocaust dream. Okay, the ones that hear that say the aliens love us and kiss us and are here for everything, even they get the Holocaust dream. So you got to kind of wonder, what the hell? So sometimes I think what you got here is you've got kind of like a split consciousness thing coming on. You're going to have a chunk of this world is going to bite the big one. There'll be a colony left behind, but it looks like the majority of survivors will be moved off world. And to a world that you could, like what the peace, love, and light is described, it's a world like that. It's very peace, love, and light. I mean, there's no war, there's no starvation, there's no fighting. Most everything works by mind power, by kinetic or telepathic abilities. And usually how most of all their stuff works. You're there to learn and teach and basically, you know, live as long as your body holds up. And you're probably within the reach of the downloaded body. So you probably, once you get there, have an unlimited lifespan as long as you don't go do something stupid and get yourself blown up somewhere or something where you can't get restored. But so in that aspect, I think the contactees are right. So what it looks like is they're seen off-world, not here. Because the way the contactees describe the off-world, the two off-world colonies I've heard them talk about, both are like that. They do everything they can to help you out. They want you to learn. They want you to be involved. They're showing you how to do things in the world. But even then, I noticed there still seems to be a little hint of protection and strength involved. Like they still want you to be maintain a strong race. And they don't want to wimpify you because you may have to fight one day for whatever reason. I mean, it's never really mentioned why. And then you drop back, and then bam, one-third of contactees, whether reptilian, grays, or human contactees, have the Holocaust dream. Whether they're good or bad experiences doesn't matter. They have the Holocaust dreams. Holocaust dreams are pretty straightforward. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've lost count. I'd actually have to go sit down and go through like 15 different computers to actually give you a real number on how many cases we've looked at, but it's a lot. I mean, it literally is a third of all of our cases. We've got to be close. If you go with what's currently in the other database and what's on the abduction at AT&T.net, we've got to be close somewhere between 17 and 20,000 cases. Now, in all fairness, probably five of them haven't been investigated, but they're in the database. So they are accessible. But still, you know, so you start to see patterns in what they're doing, what they're looking for. Why they do certain things, like passive scanning. There seems to be, especially with the grays, there seems to be a lot of passive scanning of humans. It's like they're scanning, looking for levels in your brain. It's like they're looking for some spark or something in your mind. I don't know what it is they're looking for, but they're looking for something. But it's you know, I don't think it's so far to help them out as much as it is us. But I got to be honest with you, I don't think any of the races straight out or here to save us or to wipe us out. I think we're just a tool in between whatever the hell else there is doing. And, you know, I mean, first off, Earth is a heavy water planet. Water is used for a lot of things. A lot of kind of fuels can be made out of it. Electricity, a lot of power can be made out of it. It can be drank. It can be used for other things besides that. There's a lot of minerals on Earth. A lot of minerals in our atmosphere. And we're the closest, well, not quite, we're the second closest place to the jumping point for Andromeda. So if you wanted to jump over to the Andromeda Galaxy, which, by the way, I think is a billion light years away, we're the closest point, or second closest point. And who knows if we might be the closest point by judge of development of what they have available on the planet. Maybe they need the oceans. Maybe that's what they do. Maybe when they're jumping back and forth, they park in the oceans to cool off. That might be why you see those clouds and all always coming up around them. That might be why they use this planet, because it does have such a large mass of water. So they come in hot, land, and cool off. By the way, those are all theories for anybody. So that's right to me because I have no idea. I'm just saying it could be. Whatever reason they're here, they're here. They've been messing with us a long time. Two things we know for sure. They haven't wiped us out, and they haven't enlightened us. So it's highly unlikely they're going to do either one. So if they haven't wiped us out, and they're not really enlightening us, what the hell is it that they're doing? And then what about this hologram? Why is it really looks like a purging or a cleansing of the planet, where the majority of the people who survive are contactees. There does seem to be some hybrids or some other stuff that survives, and a couple of different types of hybrids they keep up in Washington for some reason. I guess stuff that didn't work out, but that are still sentient, so they keep them there. Then there seems to be at least a very small military faction that survives. And then there seems to be some weird mutations from the drugs that only seem to last for a few days, where people, sounds like something out of some damn series with the zombies. It sounds a lot like that. But it's an interesting place, but I can't tell you how many, yeah, it's like The Walking Dead. The contactees describe pulling into cities that are pristine. No damage to the cities, cars parked on the side, no people laying in the streets, still parking, street lights working, still stop lights working, but no sign of anyone. But it doesn't look like everybody left in a hurry or anything either. There's no broken windows or any disasters, no fires out of control, just cities. And they say a lot of times you'll be driving through the city and all of a sudden you'll start rolling up and you'll see like four or five military vehicles and some dump trucks and some bulldozers, and they're burying mass graves, I guess, you know, whatever. They were just cleaning through the city and taking all the dead people and burying them, getting them out from carrying the disease or whatever it was that killed everybody. But what's funny about it is most contactees will tell you that they estimate about 15% of the world, 15 to 20% of the world's population is going to survive. To me, those kind of coincidences when you talk, because we always talk about how many contactees on a planet, about 15%. It's also funny that Rh negatives make up 15%. It just comes up a lot. The little 15% comes up a lot. Doesn't mean anything. It's a coincidence, I mean. But it's just a weird coincidence the way it pops up on the way it's working. So it's one of those things we're going to keep an eye on and see where it takes us down the road. But getting back to the Holocaust, so contactees tell you they see this stuff going on in these cities, and they go, they find retrieval groups, which are contactees that I guess are working for the aliens, retrieving other contactees that are either lost or haven't made it to a rendezvous point or being held by the military or something. Because they talk about the contactees left behind, or this particular group, they talk about each core group has a group of these. There's how many other core groups are on the planet, but each core group has a group of these, and that's all the job is to make sure that the contactees get back to where they need to be at any cost, whatever it takes. And but for some reason, they don't allow them to go. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. A lot of them say it's like a deal they cut to guarantee that their kids and their family got to go. But then a lot of them tell you they wouldn't let them go because of the things they had to do to make sure these people survive, like retrieving them from military facilities and stuff, that they're not allowed to go. They don't want that kind of anybody who's experienced that living on these planets. They're trying to create a utopia, I guess, or at least a resemblance of one. Who knows for sure what they're up to. But at least it seems like that. So they talk about they're going to leave them behind to help with the colony on Earth. I guess they'll be part of the colony on Earth, but they're not allowed at the new colonies. But also the Greys and humans and reptilians all have a colony on Earth at that point. And there's a hybrid colony, and then there's like two or three human colonies. And I guess they did it like that so that everybody could grow at the same rates and inhabit the population together, the planet together. Because that's basically what they did with the other humans they took off. They took them in large numbers, but they put them with groups of other type of humans and other type of aliens. And remember, they've been collecting humans off this planet a long time. This isn't something that just started recently. Everybody forgets about those host bodies, those husk bodies that they have, and the fact that they take a lot of people at the moment of death. They take their consciousness. We don't know how long they've been doing that. There could be literally millions, even hundreds of millions of humans out there. If they started doing this from day one, there's just literally no telling how many people have taken. At least 400 or 500 million. I mean, if you just do the math over 2,000 or 3,000 years, I mean, if you start thinking 100,000 years or more, no telling. You might actually go to this colony and meet your great grandfather 25 times removed. Say, wow, it's Uncle Papa Harold from 25 BC or something, you know? You just don't know what the hell you're going to find. And they definitely think differently. We do. And I think that's the other hard thing for most researchers. They always think about ET from a human point of view. You can't do that. They're not human. They don't think like us. They definitely don't have our moral values or our moral standards, or they wouldn't be abducting our citizens against their will. So there's no doubt that they don't have the same values there. But getting back to this, so here you have this group of people out there doing whatever it is to get these people, and they're going to get left behind. So you're going to have Earth as a colony, some off-world colonies, the Council of Elders, and all that wonderful stuff is all out there. And I guess, what is that other council I hear about every 5 million times now? The Arachnid Council? No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. Damn, I can't think of the name of it right now, but I'm always hearing about it from my peace-loving life friends. And the thing of it is, in that case, my peace-loving life friends are probably right. These are the places they're probably being taken and visiting. And these are probably going to be their final destinations if they can achieve whatever it is they want them to achieve. That's probably what all that testing and visitation to the big ships are, is to see if these people can actually be part of the working colony, if they should take them or not. Because everybody serves a purpose. People like me, I'm probably too tainted to go to an off-world colony. Maybe if they would have took me when I was 25 or 30, but at 50, nah. I'd be like, F the alien, man. Give me my own damn spaceship. I'm out of here. So they probably won't take people like me. They're like Jason. They probably wouldn't take him either. You know, there's enough damage in us that we shouldn't be going to a new world colony. It should be peace-loving like people. We all love you. And, you know, if you need something blown up, come find one of us. That sounds like what it's going to be. And that's an agenda. Now, that's just one agenda, by the way. We haven't even got into anything else. The thing about this is, when is this agenda going to be, the first one or the last one or somewhere in between? You know, we always thought the hybrid program, everybody always thought the hybrid program was to develop better aliens. No, the hybrid program was to develop better host bodies or husk bodies. I'm sorry, I keep calling them host bodies, but they're husk bodies. Better husk bodies for humans. They wanted to integrate enough of each one of the alien types and us to make it an advanced species and to be able to take the consciousness and enlighten the consciousness and make it as advanced as well. And that's why they can take them to new worlds and the colonies. And, you know, you'll start, once you start seeing, the human mind wants to be good for the most part. So once you put it in an environment where it can thrive and grow, it's going to do just that. For most people anyway. Billy, legalized marijuana. Hey, they might have something better than marijuana. How you know, bud? It's aliens, dude. Just put some seeds in your pocket when they take you next time and find your spot to plant them. So when they take you, when you die, you got your own little personal field going. No, before anybody writes to me, I was teasing. I'm telling you, if I have alien pot, who knows? I imagine they have alien everything. I mean, the places sound like utopia when you hear people talk about them. They really do. So in that aspect, I can give the peace, love, and light people credit for that. But as far as it being here, no, I don't think it's going to happen that way here. And you may see this planet become a united planet for five or six aliens over the next 10, 15,000 or next 2 or 3 million years, however long it takes. But you will see it. It's going to change. Really and truly, and I don't know how you deal with this, but if the reptilians were native to this planet, meaning their panspermia created the reptilians on this planet, then technically it's their planet. We're intruders. We're not invaders because we didn't come here to invade, but we're intruders. We're like an unwanted virus that's eating up everything on the planet. So I guess some kind of compromise had to come to because they didn't want to wipe us all out. And how do you move 7 billion people? And by that time, probably more like 9 or 10 billion people. Turn them all to dust and upload them onto a computer disk and download them into new bodies when you get in there. I guess you could do that. I don't think that would work all that well. Boy, you'd need a couple of terabytes for that, huh? A couple of trillion terabytes? I imagine the human consciousness is going to take up a lot of space. I'd be disappointed if it takes up like 50 gigs or something. I would expect all the crap in my head should take up at least 50, 60 terabytes, man. Lord. I'd be depressed if it took any less than that. But anyway, I mean, that's the Holocaust agenda. That's what they're talking about. And I know Rachel wrote in and asked if I could give her some more descriptions because she has dreams like this. Rachel, where are you located? Rachel is in Newfoundland? Oh, hey. Damn, it's like the wee hours of the morning up there. I appreciate you staying up and listening to us.
Wow, two thumbs up. You know who John Cools is? He's in your neck of the woods. Hold on, Boone, we'll get there. you know, when they talk about this, they really do talk about these humans that, you know, when you see them, they're just almost like they had melted. They look almost melted. That's what the contactees tell me. Like their skin just, well, maybe like the bones were deteriorating and it was losing its shape. But they said about one out of every, probably 100,000 or 1 million, one of them mutated. And it kind of did that melting weird thing, but it was insane. And it would just attack anything that moved. Have no idea if it was contagious, not contagious. As far as I know, all the contactees are naturally immune to whatever this was. That's pretty much how you know it wasn't an accident or some weird disease that popped up on a planet. All the contactees were immune to it, then they were, you know, they were bred like that. And there does seem to be other people that maybe the government found out about it and started using contactees' blood to come up with some kind of antidote, even though I don't know what the hell they would be thinking of making an antidote for, because they at first would have to know what kind of virus it was, but hey, more power to them. You mean AI? I think for the aliens, they already have AI. And not in the way that we think of it, though. You know, we think of these all-knowing, all-thinking machines that are going to do everything. I think they use AI more along the ways like Star Wars does. It's limited intelligence. They're programmed for obedience and things like that, but it's limited intelligence. It can only expand so far. Unless there's some kind of consciousness put into it, it can only go so far. Which means it's a very intelligent consciousness that can do a lot of things, but for some reason it has a stopping point. And I think that's what you're going to see. Well, we'll see it eventually. I mean, I don't know if we'll see true AI in our lifetimes, but we'll see stuff close to it in the next 50 years. And probably in the next 10,000, somebody will come up with some kind of real good AI. Because I was thinking a spaceship, a really good spaceship, should have an AI on board that can control anything that the captain doesn't want to control itself. In other words, you'd have an AI as like a redundant backup system for all the humans on board the spacecraft. It would be a great system. And it could assist and associate and help and even, you know, help in increasing the speed of repairs and all. But it's a hard thing. And so many people, you know, have seen so many wars where the AIs have taken over. I mean, all these different movies about the robots that come kill you. I mean, of course, Terminator is probably the most famous, but there's other ones out there besides that. So, doing them things. Now, the host body agenda is interesting because sometimes I think the aliens use them to move around and go places and do stuff. Now, do they have bodies like ours up there? This might be interesting. This is something we just started working on recently, by the way. You know how people tell you they get like walk-ins and stuff like that and weird stuff? We didn't realize something, but if you're on board the ship and they upload you into a host body because you're in training for something, if your body's empty, then the gray of the human or reptilian can actually download into your body and go back to Earth as you. I wish I had a piece of a Vorlon, Jason. Let me tell you what, I'd be a happy camper. Kill Mr. Vorlon! He pissed me off over there, turning him to dust or something. No, I don't think it would be a piece either, by the way, Jason. I think it would be the whole alien, you know, like the whole consciousness. Because the way they talk about it, they swap conscious bodies all the time. I mean, they swap in and out of bodies all the time. So I never thought of that before, though. You know, it was never even came up in research. And just recently it came up in research that they might be doing that. And it only came up in research because a couple of couples would tell me stuff like, oh, my wife was acting differently and my husband was acting differently. Well, two of them told me they went to have sex and it was like they were with a virgin because they didn't actually know what they were doing. I mean, it's possible they were putting it on, but I don't know. I don't really know. And those are theories, just like evolution is a theory. It's a theory. It's no more, no less than just that. And then there's a thing about collecting parts. parts and pieces. Then why would an alien race want to collect parts and pieces of humans, that is? I think they give them to the brown race to keep them happy. The cleanup crew, that's probably what they're doing with them. I don't know what else they'd be having use for them for. Unless it's like a delicacy for reptilians or something. Yeah, I mean, really, no telling what it really is or why they do it, but they do it. No reason, you know, somebody, it's like when they put the humans through psychological stress tests from about puberty to about age 30, they put you through some pretty hard stress tests. I mean, they really do shit that makes you, you know, question the universe and everything inside of it. That's why most contactees never remember any of that stuff. You really have to go into deep hypnosis to get out of them. And then you got to ask them. You got to be fair to them and you. Do you want to hear it, and do you think are they ready to deal with it? Because when that stuff comes out of their head, they've got to deal with it. Once it's reality, it's reality. You know, when it's all locked down in your head, it's all fine. When it comes bubbling up to the surface, then it creates problems. You know, you start waking up screaming because you remember the alien doing this, that, and the other thing. You wake up screaming because you see him taking your kid or your spouse, things along those lines. You're watching something happen to somebody in your family. You're wide awake and totally conscious, but you can't move. You can't even blink. But yet you can see everything that's going on. And you ever wonder why you can see the floors or the ceilings or the walls on a bed when you're just stuck there either face down or face up? How do you see the ceiling when you're face down? Well, on the gray ships and most of the ships, the floors reflect. You can see the ceiling from the floor. And same thing from the ceiling, you can see the floor. The way the room is set up, they must channel light all the way around everything. Because you don't really see any light sources when you're in there, but it's always the illumination is always quite intense. And they can bump it up more if they want to. And it's kind of interesting the way how luminous it is and how it works. Because you never see any light bulbs or anything. You never see anything, really. Just light. And I noticed they can even channel it and direction it. And even have it come out in pieces to come down where they can move it around their cells, which is strange. But, I mean, the more you look into it, the more agendas you find. A lot of them seem to be introducing us to other species. Not to come here, by the way. They don't have space travel. They're like us. They're ignorant. they seem to be introducing us quite a lot of these species. But on board other ships, they're not allowed on Earth. I guess just like we're not allowed on their planet unless we're with one of them, they're not allowed here unless they're with one of those. So you know, every now and then, but on board the ships, there's a lot of them. There's several different races that are actually going through basically what humans are going through. So the reptilians, humans, and the greys are not just doing it here. They're doing it other places. It's almost like they're slowly but surely creating the subpopulation that's going to enhance whatever it is they're building in the universe. They want to make sure all the populations that are going to be joining in to the galactic, whatever the hell it is, are the type races they want. So instead of going to war with them and every other thing, they're changing them at an early race, taking them out. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. Hey, callers, I see y'all. Skype is not, every time I click thing, it just sits there. It either tells you declined or it just sits there. I just clicked the three of them. Y'all are just spinning. There's three of y'all just spinning. I have no idea what's up with it. That's Skype. Sorry. Skype usually works pretty good. No, there's a bunch of calls. I can see them, but they're just it's not letting me take any of these calls. It won't let me add them to the group. I could pull them in independently, but y'all wouldn't be able to hear them, so that's not going to work. But I'll find out what it is soon and see what it is. Stalila? Oh, baby, I can't pronounce your name. Where are you from? Costa Rica. Hey, down there in Costa Rica. That's beautiful down there. Wanted to let me know that UFO activity has seemed to pick up there. And her sister lives in Puerto Rico and says that it seems to have picked up there. Well, I don't know about Costa Rica. I have heard about Puerto Rico just recently. We have had about a dozen abduction cases come in over the last 6 months. New cases. So, yeah, it does seem, I have to agree with you, it seems the activity picked up there. I don't get much data on Costa Rica, so if you're interested, we are looking for directors, so it would be nice to have someone down there just to keep an eye on things and you know, let us know what's going on. We're always looking for directors all over the world. Goal is to have a director everywhere, you know, everywhere. Every place we can find one, we want one. Yeah, we want to be the first one there when E.T. steps out the saucer and says, hey, what's up, bud? Yeah, slap me some five. Give me the lowdown. things like that. I can't wait for an alien to show up that's been watching I Love Lucy for 50 years and talk to us like that.
Oh, man, it'll just be kind of funny. Lucy! bang to the... Oh, what's that one? Jackie Gleason, bang, zoom to the moon. I could see the alien telling you, bang, zoom to the moon. It's funny. I mean, you know, we don't know how far out in space they come from. I mean, where are the signals right now? 60 light years out, 65 light years out, something like that. So, I mean, in the grand scheme of a 100,000 light year galaxy, it ain't very far, but 65 light years, that's crossed through a lot of planets. There's a lot of planets in that 65 light years, so somebody heard us. Somebody's probably checking them out going, some alien on some world somewhere is going, man, I can't believe they canceled Firefly. What the is this about, man? Or they just started watching, not knowing it's going to be canceled, and it was canceled in a year. Hey, you know, you just, you know, it's one of those things. Or, you know, solar disruption. You're watching a series like Babylon 5, and there's a solar disruption that wipes out like three episodes. Like the crucial one. Like the one when Delenn saves his ass, huh, Jason? You know, yeah, you'd have to come invade Earth. It'd be like an episode of Futurama, man. You'd have to come invade, find out what happened. Oh, Lord. But really, there's a lot of this stuff we don't think about, and it's the fact that they might actually be using, because everybody says, oh, they walk amongst us. They don't look enough like us to walk amongst us, but if they can upload their cells in their bodies, then they could do it. They could walk amongst us no problem at all. They just walk around, la, 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 la. And you'd be going, wait, Bob, you used to be so dumb. What happened? Oh, I've been eating my veggies, man. My brains are kicked in. And then the next day you see Bob again. You're like, oh, I'm Bob, man. What's up? And you're like, what happened? What the hell is going on here? What the? Yeah, you're just kind of like, and then Bob starts telling you about the alien he's seen the night before. And you're like, really now? Okay. There's a lot of good alien agendas. The agenda about the Holocaust dream worries me because it's the most prominent of all the agendas. It seems to stand out pretty hard. The host body thing seems to be slowing down. They're still making bodies and they're still doing experiments, but they don't seem to be doing as much. We're not getting as much reports about those types of experiences anymore. It seems like they've developed what they needed to develop there, or they developed a system that they needed to develop there. Now they're on to other things. They really do look like, for at least some of us, they want to expand our consciousness and our mind, conscious minds, body, the whole nine yards. You know, they want to see us bigger, stronger, healthier, faster, because compared to the other aliens, first off, size-wise and strength-wise, we're wimpy. Brain-wise, we're even less than wimpy. We're just like complete and utter morons. We're like the guy that's like, my name is Billy. My last name is Bob. Yeah, that's Billy Bob. Yeah. Okay. So, you know what I mean. And I'm not trying to insult anybody because I got a friend named Billy Bob. He's probably cussing me right now. And he don't talk nothing like that, by the way. He talks faster than I do, little shit. But the thing of it is, you know, you get reports like these. Oh, my husband was like this, 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 and then the next day is like that. One lady's telling me about her husband. They were watching Jeopardy, right? Every question he got right. She's like, I'm like, honey, what you been doing? You been taking some drugs or something? Because he never gets any questions. Like, she said, when he comes to Jeopardy, he's a complete moron. And she's just sitting there amazed. And it wasn't even regular Jeopardy. It was like one of the Tournament of Champions. She was just amazed. She's like, Josh is like, wow, what the hell happened here? And she said, and then it was like 3 or 4 days later, they were watching, what is that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Have y'all ever seen that show? And she said he was just missing every damn question. I was like, damn. You'd be amazed how many people ain't as smart as a fifth grader in this country, by the way. That's just retarded. It really is. To answer, what is it? Peter? Hey, Peter. Let's see, Peter, where are you from? Sherwood Forest, what? Oh, Sherwood Forest, Baton Rouge. I know where you at, man. How you doing? You local boy. What's up?
No, I don't. To answer your question, his question, he's just basically wanting to know, do I think if ET is going to wipe us out anytime soon? I don't think they're going to anytime soon. I don't think we're anywhere near where they want us to be emotionally, psychologically, physically, or mentally to achieve what they want us to achieve right now. So I don't think so. I think when the time comes, when the planet reaches 9, 11, 13, 15 billion people, then they decide to wipe out, you know, all but 2 or 3 billion, leave 4 or 500 million planet, take the rest off the world, the rest of them bite the big one. It won't be the first time there was a mass extinction of any kind on the planet. Probably won't be the last. It just worries me. But in the end, they don't want to kill everybody. And they are wanting to see the race survive and become a much more enlightened, much more race. But what bothered me more than anything was the fact that they were willing to leave behind a group of individuals who were out basically doing their dirty work to create a colony on this planet. And in a lot of ways, these are what you talk about when you hear them talk about the super soldiers and stuff. That's what they're talking about, these people. These are what these people really are. They're not like some stupid super soldier. They have very advanced telepathy, very advanced empathic, and very advanced telekinesis. Very advanced. And their strength is usually 4 or 5 times normal of a human. And all around, all their capacities are actually the bodies they download them into is a body designed for the New World Colony, which is 2G environment. So they're like little mini supermen on this planet. And it's male, female, but they, because of what they do, they say they're not allowed, they're going to stay here. So they basically left a group behind that's, you know, probably going to need counseling for a few hundred thousand years or so. Why not just wipe them out? Why not start from fresh? Why not wipe out the hybrid group they've got that they're going to save? You know, why not just wipe them out? I guess in the end they may have a little bit of a conscience, a little bit anyway. After all, they are going to kill between 9 and 12 billion people, so they can't have that big of a conscience, but they may have a little conscience. Or maybe it's like weeding the garden so that the rest can grow better. I have no idea. But I guess we'll find out one day. I don't think it's going to be in my lifetime, though. And Daryl and the other brother Daryl there, that was funny. I don't know if I'll be one of the ones that get to go off world. That's up to them. If you've seen a host body or a husk body, then you're probably going to get to go. You know, come to think about it, I don't remember seeing one. Yeah, I might be too much of a handful for him or something. You know, they might be like, oh my God, this Joe guy's crazy. Plus, he never shuts up. We can't put him on a new world. He'll talk us all to death. I'll have the radio show, Joe Montaldo's New World Radio Show. Good evening, everyone, here on Planet Moronville. How are y'all doing tonight? Everyone is so happy and peace, love, and light. And all I got to say is, F all of you crazy bitches. See, I couldn't go there. It's just not going to work. After a week of living with a bunch of peace, love, I'd kill somebody just for the excitement. I couldn't do it. I'd be umming somebody, all right. I couldn't do it. My soul is not that enlightened yet, I just have to say. It still enjoys the being a manly man. Yeah, Galactic Radio, that's right. So this guy the other day was trying to insult me. He goes, well, you're just like that Putin guy. I said, oh, you mean a real man? Cool, thanks. I'll take it as a compliment for what it is. Because if you had to call, see, I would be offended if you called me Obama, but I didn't actually get offended being called Putin. At least he's a little bitty guy, little bitty old guy. He's only like 5'2 or something, 5'3. He got balls the size of Earth. I'm telling you, his left nut is a planet. He don't care. And he ain't scared to get into the United States, especially with you know who running things. He's like, whatever, I'm going to do whatever I want. See, when the reptilian was in the White House, see, y'all were all wrong. Y'all always thought Obama was a reptilian. Then y'all said Cheney. It wasn't. Condoleezza Rice was a reptilian. She used to go to China and peel part of her face off and said, do you really want to F with me, boy? And then she called back, oh, Daddy Bush, it's okay. It's all taken care of. Yes, sir, Daddy, we took care of it. And then she'd go over to Russia and do the same thing, and she'd go to the Middle East. You ever notice everywhere she went instantly started behaving? That's why. Reptilian biatch. more than likely it's because they knew that she spoke for the for whoever was over here running things, and that if you screwed with them, they would blow you up. Hey there, Ray. How you doing, Ray? It's just funny to me, but there's a lot of stuff to cover here. We only got into very little bit. I know we're at the end of the show, but lot of good material. And remember, we are looking for directors. We're looking for donations. The station always needs help. It's always got to buy something. If it's not bandwidth, that's computer parts. And now we're paying for the damn app. Be sure y'all go check out the new app. Let me know what you think about it. And people write to me because, you know, once we had a site down for 4 days, and a very popular site, nobody even bothered to write to me. If the company wouldn't have wrote to me, I would have never known. Y'all, if you see a server down or you hear something weird, you're not going to offend me. Write to me and tell me. Because we don't know. Somebody wrote to me the other day, we were getting audio on some of our archives. And what was happening is, like on my show, I keep a Windows open between me and Steph for articles we're doing. Well, every now and then one of those articles have a recording in it. Well, I can't hear that. So it gets on the thing. So y'all got to tell me that. So now we know to put those on a different computer so they're not opening up while we're recording. Which, you know, you call us and tell us, write to us. We're always looking for help. People already think I'm nuts. You know, I tell people all the time, guy says, you're crazy. I said, dude, I was crazy. I'm on my way back to sane. Now that should scare you anymore, even more. I said, I went to the crazy, and now I'm headed back. Yeah, get scared. You know, I was listening. I had a gentleman tell me, you know, I love these reptilian sex stories, by the way. They are some horny bastards. Reptilians, both male and female, are horny. They like to hump on humans. And you don't hear much about the humans doing it. You don't hear much about the greys doing it. Boy, with the reptilians. And the reptilians love to bring themselves in as these beautiful, angelic-like beings. I mean, just unbelievably beautiful. You don't even find out they're reptilians until much later on. It's like they want to develop a relationship before they show their scaly ass self. And what's funny about that, when they do it like that, most of the women, men, don't really have a problem with it later on, which weirds me out a little bit. But they love to do it that way. And a guy calls me the other day and starts telling me about this reptilian woman and what he did to her. There's a thing we have when it comes to reptilians and female sex with male humans that they do that's abduction criteria. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's abduction criteria. But there's a certain thing that goes on between the two main parts that does not happen with regular human women. And if I don't hear that, because it's for a guy, there ain't no way. You just know what happened. There's no denying what just happened. So it kind of does that. Same thing with females who telling me they're having sex with reptilians. There's a couple of things about reptilian males that are not like human males. And even with a disguise, you're still going to feel that. So, you wait to hear things like that. It helps to think. But then, do you really want to hear somebody having sex with a reptilian or a human? Do you want to even listen to somebody else having sex if you ain't having sex? What the hell? That's such a dangerous place to go with any of this. But it is a legitimate part of the field, and it does go on. And they can be very aggressive, and they can be very passive. They can, I guess it's whatever mood they're in. You know, grab a human and have some fun, grab a human and have some more fun. But it's only the alphas that do it, the alpha females and the alpha males. The other ones aren't allowed to. No, as far as I know, it ain't got teeth, but it's got something else. Yeah, what's funny is when you hear a guy describe this, he's like, and you know, she's talking about this. I'm going to go as far as I can without telling you. Guy's talking about this woman's on top of him, and they're like, and he's like, oh my God, I can't believe it's like some heavenly sex, right? And he's just going on and on and on. And he said, and then this thing started. He said, my eyes like the flipped up in my head. So that's what I'm telling you. When this part happens, there ain't no doubt, you know. And it happens to all reptilian guys who've had sex with reptilian females. I mean, all human guys that have sex with reptilian females. And we've never disclosed it. I still hear it, like, every time I talk to them. It's crazy. It is really, really crazy. But what's funny about this, or not, it's not necessarily funny, like, some of the women talk about being raped and forced. And for the reptilian males and females, they're very, very telepathic and very empathic. So whatever they're experiencing, your experience as well. So whatever else is going on, you're feeling everything that they're feeling at the same time. You're feeling whatever else you're feeling. It can get to be quite overwhelming for humans, both in pleasure and in pain. So it sounds really good and really bad all at the same time. So you have to wait and see how it goes. And if you had one of these experiences, you know how to write to me. Write to me at uprn@cox.net or icarcox.net. I love to add new ones to the stories. According to the reptilians, the human aliens have little. You know what's? How do I know? I don't know. I'm just curious to see if they got three boobs. I'm still waiting to see these three boob women. Somebody wrote to me that the other day, Joe, I'm disappointed there's no aliens with three boobs. I said, hey, man, maybe some aliens out there with eight. You don't know. Yeah, Total Recall, yeah. Well, I seen some movie where there was a dog that was an alien that had eight boobs. I'm thinking, really? Eight? Come on. Most humans can't even handle two, much less eight. Space strippers. Sorry, people, if you're outside the virtual auditorium tonight, we got some crazies in the audience with us tonight. And I said, we got tons of questions. I know we got to get out of here, but sorry, guys. He goes, I don't know what's up with Skype. I see calls are still ringing in. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. It will not let me take it. Ramen, I see you right there. It won't let me kick you. Remy, I see you. I'm clicking your trip, put you in a queue. It just won't come in. I seen Callie called a little while ago. I don't know, guys. It's one of them nights tonight. But I'm going to get out of here in just a few minutes. Remember, though, you know, if you're out and about, remember, bring an digital camera with you. We got a busy month this month. We have a full solar eclipse, a full lunar eclipse. We have the Perseids or Leonids meteor showers of this month, and then there's another eclipse at the end of the month. So it's a very busy month for people who get outside. I'll be out watching them off my porch in Mississippi, so I hope everybody's out there enjoying the beautiful skies. The weather's starting to warm up down here. Still cool evenings, but nice days. So get out there and look at it. Enjoy life and relax. Then remember, if you've seen a UFO, you probably were just abducted or put back or taken. No one has convinced me other. Let me put it this way. I'm going to get out of here after this. No one has convinced me that when you see a UFO, you're not being taken. Because it's such a select crowd that sees them to start off with. Not everybody sees a UFO. And I like to cite particular cases. The Mexico City case. There's 22 million people in Mexico City at the time. More than a million people saw this thing hovering over the city for like 20 hours. But the other 21 million didn't. New York City, peak rush hour traffic, Linda Castile. Arizona, Phoenix. This thing was big, huge, massive, half the size of Arizona, floating across the mountaintops in Arizona. Only a handful of people saw it. A couple thousand people saw it. Why is that? Why? Well, if you do your math and you find out what the percentage of the population is, you'll know why. Because they're taking people. Because, you know, it's always bothered me that ET can keep itself hidden all the time, but all of a sudden just some jerk walking along the street and a UFO pops up. Bullshit. I ain't buying it. You're going to have to convince me of more than that, because what I can really see, what it appears to be to me, is they put you back or they take you, they let you see the craft. And I want to rectify, because I've been hearing people say this a lot lately, and I want to help people out on this, especially other fellow researchers. They're not memories, you morons, okay? Let me be as polite as I can about this. I'm getting tired of saying this. They are waking memories. They're not cover memories. Cover memory hides something. It keeps you from remembering something. These are trigger memories is actually what they are. The UFO, the owl, the deer, these are trigger memories. This is to let you know that something just effing happened to you so that you will think about it. If they didn't want you to think about it, they wouldn't let none of that stuff happen. They wouldn't let you see the UFO. They don't have any other time. Come on, they fly all around a planet all the time, never show anybody anything. They can hover over cities if they want. If you're seeing them, more than likely it's because you've been picked up. And to date, there's not been any researchers out there that can counter that. Oh, no, everybody sees you. No bullshit, they don't. Just because they don't know they're a contactee don't mean they're not a contactee. Yeah, I heard that was one of the Malaysia airline things, that it might have been an airplane full of contactees. I don't know. But all that Malaysia Jet tells me is the world ain't as advanced technologically as they want us to think they are. It also tells me that we should get together with 8 or 9 of our partner countries and set up a fiber satellite net across the planet that scans every inch of the planet all the time. And then we'll always know what's going on. Of course, everybody else says, we're spying on it. Well, a couple of people have put up theories like that maybe the Chinese shot it down because it crossed over that territorial water, and they've been towing debris out to these places to try to throw off the track. Anything is possible. I heard today or yesterday they cleared all the passengers, so they don't think it's any of the passengers. You know, it could be anything. And let's be honest, the ocean's a big, damn big-ass place, and the Indian Ocean's pretty big and pretty deep. But I'll tell you what bothers me about the Malaysian Airlines. The three different things I heard about the cell phones bother me a little bit, but a friend of mine, Jason, told me most of that came from some Chinese affiliate, so you can only take that with a grain of salt, especially if it was Chinese, because you don't know if it's true or not at this point. What bothered me is it made the turn. It turned completely around. That's what nobody likes to admit to. It did a 180. It was actually headed for, what is it, Beijing? And it ended up in the middle of the ocean, which is a complete opposite direction. But what really bothered me is, you know, there's a lot of radar where this plane was. I mean, Pakistan's got radar, Afghanistan's got radar, Britain's got radar, China's got radar. All them countries got overlapping radar over there. So they've seen this thing, and they've seen it turn, and all of a sudden it turns. But it managed to go straight down the corridor where there is no radar. The path it took kept it out of radar from the islands, Australia, New Zealand, a whole bunch of them. It took it down. They said it's like a corridor in between the active radars. It's possible that was by sheer chance. It is a big ocean, and it is a big zone, but it's a tad suspicious. And my partner seems to think that somebody took the plane and just took debris and spread them around, probably done killed everybody, and they're going to use this plane for a terrorist attack later on by doing an underlay transponder. It could be as good as any other theory. I don't know. Personally, I don't know. You know, it's Jennifer West, huh? I know you from, I met you at a conference, didn't I? Yeah, I thought so. What do you think about Stan Romanet? Most people tell me Stan's guilty as can be. I have not a clue. I didn't comment on Stan when he told me he was a contactee, and I'm not going to comment him when they tell me he's a pervert. There's just nothing for me to contact. No, Jennifer, the thing of it is, you just typing away, girl. You, like, remind me of Cloakie and them. It's warp speed typing here. The thing of it is he never met any of ICLOS criteria for us to investigate him. We, from the get-go, everybody in the organization, not just me, everybody in the organization said he was not real. He was not a real contactee, that he was hoaxing it and faking it. Even though people like Paula Harris and Adol and a few other people came out on his side, and some big names too, Jeff Pakman. Somebody told me Richard Dolan did. I don't remember Richard backing Romanek. If he did, y'all can send me a clip. I don't remember that. He was kind of like us. He was kind of standoffish from the Romaneks. He just, you know, I would have probably liked Stan and him if I had talked to him a couple of times. I heard him on other shows a couple of times. And then I realized as they were being interviewed, they just didn't meet any of our criteria, none. And we're not going to launch an investigation when you don't meet any of our criteria. Really, if you don't meet at least 50% of our criteria, we're not going to launch an investigation, because we've got enough cases now that we know that if you're truly an abductor or a contactee, you've experienced some of this, or you're just not. And Frank, yeah, there's always an exception to the rule, but in this that doesn't seem to be. It seems to be this starts pre-birth and runs until you no longer need it or to death. And there's a whole host of stuff that goes on in there. And what happens is humans remember bits and pieces. Like some people remember being on the ship, so they only remember good stuff. Some people remember the stuff at the 20s, so they only remember bad stuff. Some people remember in between. Some people remember the off-world colonies, but not really what happened to them here. But they're not remembering the whole story. And this is this, and I got researchers all the time with this. When I piss researchers off left and right with this, I get a letter. You know, Jim Sparks is a friend of mine. And I embarrassed Jim one night. I didn't mean to, but I did. I got a letter from a very famous ufologist. I'm not going to mention his name, her name. And she's a abduction researcher. And she says, Jim has 90% recall. I said, you're wrong. Oh, no, Joe, you think you know everything, but you don't. I said, I'm telling you, you're wrong. I listen to Jim speak. You don't have 90% recall. So Jim and I got to talking. And I said, Jim, I want you to go over everything that you can remember. And we talked, and we did a three-hour show. And he filled all 3 hours, but that's about all he could fill. I said, so now, Jim, let's think about this for a minute. I said, how often were they taking you at the height? He said, 3 or 4 times a week, at least 4 or 5 hours each time. I said, okay. I said, we'll just say 5 hours a week. That's, what is that? 55, 60 hours a year, right? Is that what that is? Or am I wrong? Is 60 hours a year, is that right? Anyway, how many hours it is? Yeah, 55, 60 hours a year. So, I said, that's 10 years. He said, yeah. He said, actually, it's longer. I said, but we'll just use 10 years. I said, that's 600 hours. And I said, we both know sometimes people are gone for weeks and months at a time on the other side. He said, yeah. I said, so this is just without any of that or any of this stuff before this, that's 600 hours. I said, Jim, do you have 600 hours of memories in your head? And you just could see it in his face when I said it. He just went blank. We were in Houston when we had this conversation at a conference him and Darryl Sims were at. And, I mean, his face just went blank because he couldn't. And no, can any, not even advanced cutting, not even keepers, can come up with a more than about 25 or 30% recall. Because a lot of it you can't even bring back with you. A lot of it you're either using the host bodies or you're using the computers up there and it stores in memory, but you don't have any recall in your head about it. The rest of that stuff is either blocked out or locked out because you can't know it here. So when it comes right down to it, when you have too much information, you're probably not telling us the truth. I know, huh? Like I said, people never think about this in a common sense way, but there's a lot of common sense ways to look at this that really add credibility to the research and the data. But most people would rather sensationalize it and get a book deal or go on the tour or something like that. I remember a very famous ufologist and a guy who does tours told me, he said, Joe, if you just write a book, they will let you speak everywhere. And I'm like, yeah. So I said, what you're telling me is it sell out so that I can be part of the gang. Is that what you're telling me? I said, you know me well enough to know that I'm not a sellout, and I'm going to stick to my guns, and if they don't like it, they can kiss my big, white, happy ass. Yeah. And that's pretty much how I told him, too. And, you know, they try to black sheep us and stuff, but it's really hard because we got a lot of pull these days. We got a lot of friends in the field. We got big listening audiences. Screwing with us can cause major problems with you. Well, I can't say that on the air. I got a black one with a tail. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. That was a friend of mine typing in the wrong. But anyway, we're going to get out of here. Next week, Mr. Joe is going to probably be with on us. He's a contactee. We're going to be talking about some of his stuff. Also, a gentleman sent me a video, which I haven't asked him yet, but I want to make it available for you all to look at because I want him to come on the show and talk about it. It's a damn good video, by the way. You can probably see it, I think, on the Paranormal Radio Facebook page of UFO. He posted it on one of them, so you can probably go over there and read the correspondence between us and do it. And we may be putting some of our stuff at Planet Normal. I think it's that. Who was it wrote to us? I don't know. We'll see. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff to keep up. Remember, try the new app. If you're in the virtual auditorium, it's actually available in there. Also, remember, we do have three archive sites. We have GoDaddy, which is www.uprn.org. We have SoundCloud, which is www.soundcloud.com/UPRN. And, of course, we have the Pod Garden, the Podcast Garden site as well. I don't have the Eddie in front of me, but you can look it up. And then, of course, there's the smaller ones like Podbeam and stuff like that. We've got about 24 of those running around, too, that just they hold, you know, minuscule. But they got – I'll tell you a little secret that most people don't know. Like Podbeam and Podcast, there's about 23 dozen. They only have like 10 or 15 archives in each one of them, but they're very old archives from the very beginning, stuff that you can't get on any of our archives today. So they're actually worth looking for. By the way, we have two iTunes stations. Now we have the UFO Paranormal Radio Network and the United Public Radio Network. So you can find both of them on iTunes now. They have different sets of archives. Even though the UFO Paranormal will have both sets of iCars, the United Public only has the new archives on it. So anybody who bitched about sound, y'all should go there because that sound's always excellent there. The old archives are going to have some screwy archives in them from the old days. We got archives going back to 2005 in here, and some of them are good, some of them are not. But enjoy them because a lot of the information is effing fabulous. I mean, it's just tons and tons of information out there. Belma, I've got two complete books outlined completely. I mean, all we have to do is fill in the blanks, and they could both be written. I just can't seem to fill in the blanks. Even though I know everything that needs to go in them, somehow or another, I just can't seem to arrange it in my head to arrange it in the book. If I could... If I could write as fast as I could talk, I could write a book, but I can't. My brain works much faster than my fingers do. I'm just not a good enough typist. And there's way too many typos. And I'm not so much worried about the grammar because several people will help me edit the book. Karen's offered, Teresa's offered, Stephanie, there's a bunch of people that's offered that can help me edit the book. So the grammar I'm not so much worried about. It's just making it sound the way it needs to sound. That's going to be the hard part. But it'll be well worth it. And if I ever put the iCard data book out, I can tell you one thing, it's going to change the field forever. I mean forever. And nothing like this ever been written or put out before. Nothing like the series of CDs we did last year or year before with Frenchie and I. Nothing like that's done before. That's excellent information. But on that note, we're going to get out of here. I want to tell you thanks, everyone, for tuning in to the Joe Montalvo Show, the formal of the UFO on the cover show, which, by the way, somebody asked me the other day if they could use it on the cover one day this month, so you'll probably hear it broadcasting. I enjoyed having a talk with y'all tonight. Sorry I get distracted on these shows. Usually, you know, I've been getting a lot of letters lately that I should add a third hour to the show because a lot of times I like to bullshit the first hour, which is true, I do. So in the future, we might. Tonight, I just got to do. And I just had my carpets, my rugs cleaned in my house. So I got to move some furniture around because I'm home alone this week. Yes, I'm home alone. I'm scary. Ooh, it's not rare. I'm home alone. Plus, I'm pretty sure I got taken last night. And then I talked to Linda this morning. It sounds like she did, and she's somewhere else. And then I talked to two of my other friends. It sounds like they did. And I still got to get hold of Christina Knowles and Heather and Jason and Steph. And I want them all sitting together and have a chat. Got to get that done. Oh, man. Life is a beach, and then you get sand in your crack. But on that note, we're going to get out of here, everybody. Thanks again for listening to the show tonight. And remember, have some fun and enjoy your life. You're only on a planet for a very short time, so at least smile every once in a while. Good night, everybody.
Rated Mature.